Psalm 33 this morning, 1 to 22, praising God for his provision of stability in his work and word. We're witnessing decreasing levels of dependability in people today, and it produces a growing inability in many human institutions and leaves instability in many institutions and leaves many individuals suffering from insecurity. Accordingly, we need a rock of dependability that counters all such instability and resulting insecurity. Psalm 33:1-22 offers praise to the Lord as the ultimate answer to this need. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you give us of being able to gather here today. Thank you for the Word of God in our own language, for the Spirit of God who communicates his Word to us and who equips us to live it. We ask for wisdom to understand the truth today, to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Psalm 33:1-22, first of all in the King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely or fitting for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song and play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth revere the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the Gentiles to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his hearts to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that revere him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Okay, we translate Psalm 33:1-22 as follows. This is right out of the Hebrew. Sing joyfully to Yahweh, you righteous ones. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Verse 2, give praise to Yahweh with a harp. Make music to him on a 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Because the word of Yahweh is straightforward, upright. It's the Hebrew word yashar. And all he does or makes, asa, is reliable. Now the word reliable, emuna, when used of God, deals with his total dependability. So this deals with the total dependability of the word of God and the works of God. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of Yahweh's loyal love. By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were created. By the breath of his mouth, all of their starry hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea into a heap. He puts the deep into storehouses. That goes back to Genesis 1, where God gathered the waters together in a single place, put the land separate from that. Puts the water into storehouses. Let all the earth revere Yahweh. Let all who dwell in the earth revere him. Because he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Yahweh foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. The plans of Yahweh stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, the people he chose for his inheritance. From the heavens, Yahweh looks down and sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers all they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. The horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. Behold, the eyes of Yahweh are on those who revere him, those whose hope is in his loyal love, to rescue their life principles from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our life principles wait for Yahweh. He, emphatic pronoun, is our help and our personal handheld shield. That's the Hebrew word magen. That's the personal shield that a soldier would hold on his own arm. For in him our hearts rejoice because we trust in his holy name. May your loyal love be upon us, Yahweh, as we put our hope in you. Now, there are some key observations about this psalm in view of its cultural setting, and it really helps us to understand its importance today. When we translate something from the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, which are quite old, we have to look at them in view of the cultural context, the historical context, because that's where the theology really comes through, and it really comes through here. The psalmist called his listeners greatly to praise the Lord, for his word was straightforward and upright. All he does and makes is utterly reliable. He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of his loyal love. Now, this view sharply contrasts with that of ancient pagan man. Ancient pagan man feared that he was a slave to capricious and often hostile gods. The pagans around Israel felt that there were multiple gods, and these multiple gods were often in competition against one another. And the pagan man was caught in between, and the pagan man was a slave. So he was a slave to gods that were fighting against one another. So he would often try to appease this god, and if he appeased that god, he knew he angered another one, so he bothered to hurry up and appease the other one. So he's going around appeasing all of these gods. And this is so different from Israel's God. Israel's God has his word that is straightforward, it is upright, very unlike the pagan gods around them. Pagan gods around them could say one thing and do something else. Very fickle. God was not fickle. All he does and makes is utterly reliable. And this is why the psalmist says, God spoke and it came. It's interesting, the breath of God's mouth, he speaks, and the stars, the starry host, are called. Now we know more than David knows about stars. Stars are huge. And galaxies are massive, and many of these are moving at, you know, light years of speed a second or a minute or an hour. And yet God just creates these. He spoke them into existence and they came. That's the power of God is enormous. And yet it is stable. So, and also God loves righteousness and justice. The pagan gods were not necessarily just. They were not necessarily righteous. They were self-centered, they were egotistical, and so forth. But God's not like that. God's righteous, and he's just, and he's full. The earth is full of his loyal love. The Sabbath day was very, very unusual. On the Sabbath day in the pagans, every seventh day was a day of bad luck. The seventh, and then the 19th of the second month, and so forth. And so pagans would keep themselves from doing things that were enjoyable, doing things from work, simply because they were scared that they might do something that would be unlucky and they would get hurt. God comes along, he takes the seventh day and says, no, the seventh day is the day that I rested, so you guys are going to rest. It's on me. So God reveals his love by having Israel rest and demonstrates his grace. And that's why it became a capital offense if you didn't keep the Sabbath day, because it was a testimony in violation or in opposition to all the pagan gods and the pagan religions around, who viewed the seventh day as an unlucky day. To Israel, it's just the opposite. It was a day of blessing and refreshment and rest, because God was a God of grace who gave his people rest. He wasn't a slaveholder like the pagan gods. So, there's tremendous contrast here between the stability that Israel enjoyed with God and the tremendous instability that the pagan man around her experienced. Now, the rest of the psalm expands on this theme in verses 4 and 5 as follows. God's word called into being the fixed order of the universe, opposite paganism that held that the universe was always in danger of being annihilated. Dr. Walke, I've quoted his work here, Creation and Chaos, points out how the pagan cosmogonies, a cosmogony is a story or a belief in how origins came about. The pagans believed that there was a huge battle between a sea monster that was trying to inhibit creation and the hero who slew the Slaymon, the sea monster, and then out of the body fluids of the sea monster came the seas, and then life just sprang up on its own. And therefore, the creative order was always in danger of being destroyed because it was insecure, and so you had to go through this liturgy every year in which you renewed hope in the stability of the creative order, otherwise it might come unloose. I really think that this pagan ideology was a product of a misunderstanding of the Noahic flood. People came out of the flood and so forth, but the pagans, when they departed from God, they were afraid that that flood might happen again because they didn't credit to God. So they kept going through this liturgy that they would have every year in which they would renew the creation and secure the creative order. Israel's God is very different. The creative order was spoken way back before Adam and Eve. And the flood was something that was an aberration in between of judgment. But it was completely under the control of God. So Israel's God is sovereign. He is completely in control of everything. He's stable. He's steady. He's righteous. The pagan gods were very fragile. They were fighting amongst themselves. And so the whole creative order was in danger of going boom. It's interesting, I'm running into unsaved people all the time who are very afraid. Every time there's another terrorist attack or something, they get very scared and they want to know, often as Christians, they want to know what's going to happen. What does your Bible say is going to happen in the future? They're very afraid. We don't have to be afraid because our God is stable. So, God's word called into being the fixed order of the universe opposite paganism that held that the universe was always in danger of being annihilated. So God sovereignly rules over the nations as unmovable, upright judge, and the sure savior of all who trust in him, the provider of security in a world of great spiritual sin and insecurity. So may we praise God for his utterly dependable word and works of righteousness, justice, and loyal love. So let us praise God for his great sovereign, upright stability and trust him for all our security needs. As I was in the process of getting ready to prepare this lesson and getting into it, I was thinking about a party I know who struggles with a tremendous insecurity underneath. And I was wondering, how in the world can I help this person, believer, professing believer in Christ? How can I help this person? And I got to this passage and I realized, there it is. It takes getting to the point where we recognize that God is the only real stable, dependable rock that we have. And his word is equally stable because it comes from a God who is stable. And when we put our trust in God and rely upon his unmovable word, then we take on stability. And what we need to do is to immerse our minds and our hearts in the word of God so that we can get a concept of what that stability is. We live in a world, all you have to do is pick up the newspaper or look at the news. I don't know if you get it on television or sometimes it's on the internet, it comes and everything. There's a lot of instability and insecurity around the world today. Just lots of it. You read editorials and so forth. The people who are writing these newspaper editorials, you can tell they're nervous because they don't know what's going to happen. Well, we don't have to be nervous. We know from the Word of God, we're in the seventh stage of Bible prophecy of the church era, and after that's the rapture. We're going to be taken out of the world. We're going to be with the Lord. Then there's going to have the great tribulation. We know that. We know what's going to happen. We know the world isn't going to end with some sort of climate change disaster where we're not going to be able to raise crops. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, you're going to have crops. You're going to have harvest time, sowing time, and everything. And when the earth passes away, the whole universe is going to pass away with great, great heat when God wraps it up. But that comes after the end of even the great white throne judgment, after God's judged the unsaved. So you're not going to even have a human being on the earth when God does away with it. So, why worry about it? But we get that stability from the Word of God. and from God's Word. And I encourage people to get into the Word. I know Christians who struggle with insecurity all the time. One Christian was having problems even trusting the Word. And I said, well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Spend time reading the Word of God and God will build your faith. That's what you need. And that's what we need. We need to rely on the Lord, but we need to rely on the Lord as revealed in His Word. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson, does not have to be. If it's on something else, we'll do our best to...